Is it similar to leverage trading?
Even leverage would require some collateral.
Right. Is this really an attack? Hey guys, my name is Ish Goyal and I'm the CEO at Somish Blockchain Labs. We are back with our fourth episode of the All About Smart Contracts podcast. And I've got today again with me, Nitika, who will be talking about flash loans in this episode. So guys, flash loans have suddenly, I mean, in February, they eventually kind of became very famous for good and for bad reasons.
Bad reasons,
we are going to talk about flash loans in this video in terms of what really flash loans are, why are they suddenly so relevant. We'll talk about the BZX attack, and in the end, if you watch the video till the end, there is one thing which we are going to talk about and which is very interesting, probably the most interesting part. Is flash loans really an attack on smart contracts? So I think the community is split into two opinions, whether they are actually attacks or whether your smart contracts should actually be able to handle the flash loans. So let's get started. The first question, Nitika, that I want you to answer for us and our audience is, what are flash loans?
So like the name suggests, flash loans are loans which are there for a flash of time only.
Okay.
Generally, like, we have loans and we need a collateral before we actually borrow money.
Okay.
In flash loans, the concept is without a collateral, I'm able to borrow money provided I return the money in the same transaction.
Okay, so it's like an uncollateralized loan.
Right. But so I can borrow like a huge sum of money. Because I don't have to repay it literally. So
because you're repaying in the same
transaction. Okay. Yes. So this is majorly used today for like arbitrage opportunities or the different kind of attacks that have just happened in the past. Where people just in a flash make a lot of money.
But still, I mean, how would you explain this to a layman? So typically when you go out in the traditional world to take a normal loan, where you are providing some kind of a collateral, the interest rates are kind of lower, but in an unsecured loan, they generally tend to be higher. In this case, how does it work? And when you say that the loan has to be returned back in one transaction, what does it exactly mean? How can the loan be returned?
Yeah, so I'll borrow some money. The smart contract is willing to give me an amount of money. I can do whatsoever I want with the money in the same transaction. I execute a large set of transactions as in a large set of function calls, two different project protocols, whatever it is.
Let's take an example. So how can you borrow a flash loan? Can you give some examples on that?
So there are protocols today like DYDX, AAVE, which allow flash loans in the market. They have quite some liquidity where you can borrow actually huge amount of money and execute these.
So how does it work? So you go on the platforms?
Yes. So it's all via smart contract. Okay. You write a smart contract where you borrow money from the supposed DYDX contract. You execute some set of transactions. So for example, you see an arbitrage opportunity, like the price is higher on one protocol and it's lower on the other. You perform those transactions. You've made some money out of the arbitrage. So that's what you keep and the rest is what you return back to the DYDX protocol. Yeah, so it's all in the same transaction. In case you're not able to make use of the arbitrage opportunity or circumstances have changed, somebody has front run your transaction, the transaction will fail. So basically, if you don't return the money in the same transaction, the transaction will not go through at all.
Is it similar to leverage trading? Like when you take a leverage by having a small amount of money, but you take a high leverage, let's say 5x, and then you put a buy order on some specific asset. So is it similar to that?
So even leverage would require some collateral.
Right, exactly.
And it is not subject that you have to return it in like immediately. Flash loans are a different concept because you are borrowing without a collateral. And why is it possible to just take a loan without a collateral? Because you are bound to return
in the same transaction.
It's Ethereum which is securing, the smart contracts in Ethereum are securing this, that if at all you're not able to return the money in the same transaction, the transaction will not go through.
Okay.
So that's how it's different from a regular margin trading or a leverage or whatever you're talking about.
But how have they become so relevant today? Like everybody keeps talking about flash loans. We all know there was an attack back in February. Why are they so relevant today?
Honestly, if we actually see the DeFi world, we can now see there's a exponential growth in the amount of Ether being locked up in different protocols. The number of protocols have increased, the amount which is locked is increased. So now, firstly, you have liquidity in the market where you can borrow.
Of course.
Then you have protocols which are enabling you to borrow. Mm-hmm. All of this did not exist some time back.
Sure.
So you need somebody to, you know, give you the money to perform these flash loans.
It's with a function of liquidity. Yeah,
yeah. So the different kind of projects that we have now, they are making this possible. And the recent attack on BZX in February. So it was like a huge amount of money, more than $300,000. So that's the kind of, you know, opportunity that people can now see with flash loans.
Sure. So let's talk about the BZX attack. Now, I think we are all interested to know what really happened.
This is quite a complex one, so I'll just take a shot at it.
Sure.
So what happened was that there's a protocol called DYDX, which is a lending protocol and allows flash loans. So the attacker used DYDX to borrow 10,000 ethers.
10,000 ethers.
10,000 okay. ethers under a flash loan. Mm-hmm. So resulting that at the end of the transaction, he had to return 10,000 Ether back to DYDX.
So essentially, I mean, he wrote a piece of code which triggered a transaction on the DYDX protocol. And essentially,
the first step was to borrow
10,000 worth of Ethers. Okay.
Right. Now, out of those 10,000, he took 5,000 and put that as a collateral on Compound, which is another protocol for lending.
Compound Finance, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and he borrowed 112 WBTC against those 5,000 Ethers that he just deposited as collateral.
The second step, out of the 10,000 Ethers that he took as a flash loan, 5,000 were deposited as a collateral on Compound Finance, against which he
borrowed,
WBTC. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now he has 112 WBTC at his disposal and 5,000 Ether left.
Fair enough.
Now, with out of the 5,000 that is left, he took 1,300 Ethers and he took a short position on BZX or Fulcrum, basically. And that is where the trick happened.
Okay.
So when he took a short position, he took a 5x leverage. So this was again the ETH WBTC pair.
So he took a short position on Ether.
So basically he said that the price of WBTC is going to go up.
So he took a 5x leverage.
He took a 5x leverage with 1,300 Ethers, which is again a huge amount.
And he said that Ether price is going to go down.
Right. Yeah, so BTC is going to go up.
The WBTC will go up and he's saying Ether is going down. Okay.
Right. Now, the BZX protocol, since this is a huge amount of money, this resulted in actually a transaction where the BZX protocol sold 5637 Ethers.
5,637
Ethers for WBTC.
The protocol sold it off.
Yeah, the protocol routed it via Kyber, which again internally routed it via Uniswap. So basically the exchange happened on Uniswap.
Okay.
This resulted because of there is less liquidity and the amount is high. So this led to price slippages and it resulted in the price of WBTC shooting up to 3 times. Now this guy had
112 WBTC. Right.
So he sold off his 112 WBTC at 3x the price. Now all of this resulted in profits for him. He returned the 10,000 that he had borrowed from DYDX and he closed his flash loan. Overall, resulting in $350,000 plus profits
for the attacker.
Right.
And this wasn't exactly a direct profit on
BZX, so they were open
because they were open positions on different protocols. So essentially the entire amount ended up being $350,000. Worth of Ether, I'm guessing, because essentially
that is
what the base was. So guys, now is the most interesting part of this episode. As I promised in the beginning, we had to talk about this whole confusion around flash loans, whether they are actually attacks or should smart contracts be capable of handling flash loans.
The audience is divided here. So there are people, like you said, who don't think that this is an attack, because whatever the attacker did eventually followed whatever was written in the smart contract.
The
smart contract was not built in a way to handle such huge amounts. So that was where the problem actually happened.
Right.
There could have been mitigations and definitely in future, people building such things are taking care of these things from day one. But yeah, so basically did it it do something which was not intended to do? No.
Not really.
Mm-hmm. There are arbitrage opportunities everywhere around in this system.
They're natural.
There are, and there are protocols which actually depend on these.
On that, yes.
So, for example, when the attacker sold his WBTC, the price again fluctuated. It will, right? Because now he's selling such a huge amount of BTC into
the
system.
So the market will evolve, right. Yes.
And it was the arbitrage opportunity that people saw that balanced the price again.
Right.
So protocols are also dependent on such arbitrage opportunities and, you know, to balance the ecosystem. So it, I think the important thing is that the protocols, all of these lending or DeFi protocols that are coming up, they should be made in such a way that they can handle such attacks. We cannot stop attacks. In fact, these will actually bring in more people to DeFi because, right, you know, it'll attract more people.
Attract people. Yes, yes.
So flash loan proof contracts should be the
thinking of the developers. So, and I think from an audit perspective, if you want to correlate, I think this is one of the big things that you you also spoke to me about offline. Smart contracts, essentially, when we audit, we are looking at how they are handling flash loans. And as you said, I think making sure that the smart contracts are flash loan proof is what is required. The new
so
idea.
New protocols, they're all interrelated, you know. So right. There's not one protocol which will be performing its logic individually. Right. We are dependent on people, on other protocols for prices. We are dependent for trades. There are XYZ points of interaction between two protocols in the DeFi sphere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things like these need to be taken care of.
Cool, guys. So that's it from our fourth episode of the All About Smart Contract Audit podcast series. We had an excellent session on flash loans today. Thank you so much for watching this video. We'll be back soon with our next video as well. If you are in this space and if you are starting to write smart contracts or finishing up your DeFi product, now is the time to get ready for your audit. So please get in touch with us. We are more than happy to talk you through how audits work and make sure that potentially we are able to work together. I'm going to ask Nitika to urge you to subscribe to our channel. So Nitika, do the honors. They are not listening to me. They are watching our videos, but not subscribing to our channel. So go ahead and make your pitch.
Guys, please do subscribe to our channel, like and share this video, and do leave your comments in the comments section below.
Thank you so much for watching. Bye-bye now.